Exodus chapter 20, verse 2, and then we'll read 8 through 11. Again, verse 2 reminds us why the Ten Commandments matter, or the Ten Words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Because of that, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. Remember the Sabbath day. You think it's that simple. You just read the first part and you go, okay, this is going to be simple, you know, no big deal. But let's just make some observations about this fourth word, okay? Number one, it's on the screen there. This is the longest of the Ten Commandments. Approximately 100 words, just shy of 100 words in the English translation. 98 or so, 99, depending on your English translation. It's fascinating because it's the longest of the commandments and it has one simple thing. Take a day off. Fascinating that he has more to say about taking a day off than he says about adultery, murder, and stealing. You would think that if he's going to digress, if the Lord's going to expand, he's going to go on commandments 5, 6, 7, you know, a little bit juicier stuff. No. Take a day off. Let me spend 100, almost 100 words to let you know about it. And it's almost like he's saying, I'm serious about this thing. I'm serious. It's the longest. Number two, it's the most difficult to properly interpret. Remember the Sabbath day, and you would think, okay, that's great. But immediately, if you've been around church circles for a while, you'll start thinking about what is the Sabbath? And I thought, I'm not Jewish. Is it Saturday? Is it Sunday? I thought I was under grace and not law. What do I do with this fourth commandment? Why is it in the Ten Commandments? Did the Lord need a filler? And as you and I begin and we pause here for a moment, we need to understand that throughout the ages and throughout the centuries and years, there's been three major difficulties that we have to deal with when it comes to this fourth word. All right? It's not as easy, but we need it so we can properly interpret it. Number one, it's on the screen. There's the only commandment not repeated in the New Testament. All the other nine, in one way, shape, or form, are repeated. The fourth one is not repeated, as you say, like, remember the Sabbath. Now, did the Sabbath exist in the New Testament? Of course it did. Did the Jews exist in the New Testament? Yes, they did. So the Sabbath existed. But is it a command for the New Testament believer? Is it repeated that way? No, it's not. Number two, the church has historically worshipped on Sunday. Okay? That's the reality. With scattered exceptions, the church has always met. Okay, and when I say the church, I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about you, me, those who know Jesus Christ, those who comprise the church, have met throughout, with rare exceptions. It's always been the first day of the week, what you and I know as Sunday. So as a result, some people will call the observance of what we're doing today as the Sabbath. Thirdly, again, this is all part of interpreting it correctly. We face the fading tradition of a Sunday as a holy day or sacred day. Sunday is just another day that ends in Y. And you can debate the reasons. It could be this, it could be that. You and I can spend a bunch of time just saying, why? The reality is it's a fading tradition. Sunday is no longer Sunday. One writer wrote, put it this way, it's on the screen. Our great-grandparents called it the Holy Sabbath. Our grandparents called it the Sabbath. Our parents called it Sunday. We call it the weekend. Sunday's just Sunday fun day. Hashtag that bad boy. Sunday fun day. Hashtag. And that's the fading tradition. The fading tradition. Listen, let's face it. None of us really, like, we don't go into depression if we skip a church service. I've never had to counsel anyone in my 20 years of pastoral experience, to say because they were on the brink of doing something wrong to themselves because they skipped a church service on Sunday. Nothing. And I'm being actually kind of facetious there, right? Sarcastic. The problem is not that we miss a Sunday. The problem is much deeper. it doesn't even bother us. That's the problem. The problem is not, hey, listen, I'm not here to tell you you need to be here 52 Sundays a year. Okay? Should you be? Yeah, you should. If you're in town, this is part of your weekend. All right? The bottom line is you and I are so busy that what we used to do on Saturday, we now have to do on Sunday. So even from the domestic of cleaning and washing and doing this, well, I got to do it on Sunday. Why? Because Saturday was so busy with me, with my children, with having fun. We lose the rhythm of work, rest, and leisure. So Sunday pays because it's no longer a sacred day. You and I don't organize our week or even our weekend around Sunday morning, the gathering of the saints. So we face this tradition, and that makes it tough on what does the Sabbath actually mean? So you have that reality that it's not repeated in the New Testament as a command. It's not seen as important anymore. And number three, the fourth word remains a source of continual interest. There's something about this. What do you mean the Sabbath? And again, for many, some of you, this might be something new. For some of you who were raised in the church, you know, you may have even heard of the wars and how to interpret it. And we'll get to that in just a moment. In his book, The Ten Commandments, What They Mean, Why They Matter, and Why We Should Obey Them, Kevin DeYoung writes the following, and I'll be on the screen there. Have you ever thought about where the week comes from? Days come from the earth's rotation on its axis. Months are more or less gauged to the lunar cycle. The years are a result of the earth's revolution around the sun. In other words, scientific phenomena have given us days, months, and years. But why weeks? A seven-day week seems arbitrary relative to the natural rhythms of the solar system. The week is what it is because God made it that way. He accomplished his work in 6 days and then rested on the seventh. Every time and everywhere we cycle through Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we're embodying the Sabbath principles introduced into the world by God himself, and he is true. And that's what part of the Sabbath is all about. Just recognizing the rhythms that God has built into our lives. The rhythms of cycles, of seasons, night and day, a time for work, a time to sleep, a time to rest, a Sabbath day that should mean something to you and me. Even Jesus took time to leave the busy ministry of the crowds and went away to refresh, to pray. You and I were not built to be beasts of burden. God understood this, and therefore he creates a natural rhythm of work and leisure. The problem is you and I don't know how to do this. Jesus himself, who did all that he did, accomplished all that he could, and he still rested when he needed. In John 4:4 says, I have brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. So part of this work doesn't mean that you and I have to be busy every moment of our lives. You and I think so, but we don't have to be. Years ago, we wouldn't be. Today in the 21st century, it's almost like we gotta be. Chuck Swindoll once said, we have become a generation of people who worship our work, who work at our play and play at our worship. I think he was right. We're a generation who worship our work, who work at our play and play at our worship. As Americans, you and I think we know how to rest. But let's see. Point me to someone you know. I mean, don't do this right now, but just, you know. Okay. Point me to someone you know that you can say, look at and go, that's a person who knows how to rest. I want to model my life after this person, so because I know they rest. Normally in American society, we have the workaholic and the bum. The workaholic who sacrifices his family on the altar of immediacy, on the altar of I got to keep up with this person or that person, I have to have a Lexus, I have to live here, and I have to live there. So I have to sacrifice everything and anything. Or you got the guy who's growing roots out of his backside into his couch. Because, you know, I got to rest. Leave me alone. I'm a gamer. You're 43, bro, and you're in the cellar. You know what I mean? And you smell, by the way, too. The reality, though, yeah. The reality is the fourth commandment is all about restoring the proper balance of it all. Worship, work, and rest. And here's the problem. You and I will work at our rest. Oh, man, we're not going to skip a time out. A fun day. Okay? We will work at our rest, and we will rest at our worship. And we overdo it all way. And we were off this kilter where we're not operating correctly. And whether you're employed, and I know some of you here are also retired. I don't hate you guys. I just hate the game. You're retired. I'm not. Yeah. No, I told my wife the other day, you know a joke's coming. I told Monique the other day, I crunched the numbers, sweetheart. I can retire 3 years after I'm dead. I mean, Okay, 3 years after I'm dead, I'm retiring. I'm in. Oh, boy. The point is simple on the screen. Rest, rejoice, repeat. Rest, rejoice, repeat. And you would think it would be that simple until you ask a pastor or a Bible study leader, hey, what is this commandment all about? What does it mean? You know that preachers won't agree. Bible commentators don't agree. For 2,000 years, we haven't been agreeing. In fact, if I took Bible study leaders here in my own church, lined them up here, and I asked them, hey, what's your take on the fourth commandment, on the Sabbath? You might just get different answers. Doesn't mean necessarily they're wrong, unless in one of them, which we'll get to in just a moment. But everything else, you might just get a little bit of a difference. Well, with this in mind, let me just share with you throughout the years three main viewpoints that have come to the forefront when it comes to the Sabbath. View number one is the Saturday is the Sabbath. That's the big word there if you're playing a Scrabble, Sabbatarian. Okay, Sabbatarian view. Those are the folks that knock on your door. Knock on my door. Okay? Those are the ones that, whether the Seventh-day Adventist, Jehovah's Witness, how about Seventh-day Baptist? You didn't think there were Seventh-day Baptists? Of course it's Seventh-day Baptist. We crazy. Okay? Any other Sabbatarian, what they're saying is that Sunday to them is like our Saturday. And Saturday to them is like our Sunday. And the reality, though, is they argue, and I think rightly, in my opinion, in this pros and cons. Now, the pros in this, they say the Sabbath has always been on a Saturday, and there's no scriptural evidence that we switched it over to a Sunday. They'll point to Constantine, and they'll give you some QAnon stuff from, you know, right wing and left wing and every wing, and everything is, you know, some conspiracy stuff, that this is why it's supposed to happen. No, but there isn't. There isn't. And they really stress the Sabbath. That's good. Where they fail, the con, is because there's no New Testament evidence to suggest that Christians felt obligated to worship on a Saturday. In fact, the pattern is quite contrary. For years, nearly unanimous is the testimony of the Christian church that says, no, it's not the Sabbatarian or Saturday is the Sabbath. I think it also fails because it doesn't properly distinguish between law and grace. In fact, this is where the Sabbatarians go wrongly because they say if you don't worship on Saturday, you're taking the sign of the beast. You don't belong in the kingdom of God. And let me tell you, you don't think it? Go ahead, open the door next time, and tell them, nah, I worship on Sunday. You guys are wrong. Just sit down, embrace yourself. So this view, this is the one that if it came up here and I brought up the Bible study leaders and they said, no, I'm a Sabbatarian. I said, on the way out, I just push them out and see you later. No food for you. No way. Okay. View number two, Sunday is a new Sabbath. That's the Christian Sabbath view. This is the one that the Puritans and most, if you're in the church world, you have the Presbyterians and those who are in that school, they'll say it's the Christian Sabbath. This view suggests that Sunday has replaced Saturday as the official Sabbath. Reformed folks will talk to you about the Sabbath. And again, pros and cons. Pros, yeah, listen, recognizes the legitimacy of the fourth commandment. It also recognizes the importance of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, you know, the reality is you and I were most probably raised in some version of this view that Sunday is the Sabbath and we have to honor the Lord through it. The problem, though, is that Sunday is never called the Sabbath in the New Testament. It never is. In the New Testament, in fact, when the Sabbath was mentioned, whether it's Galatians, whether it's Romans, whether it's Colossians, where the writer argues, it's always understood that the Sabbath is the seventh day of the week, lands on the seventh day of the week. It's a Saturday. So there's no evidence whatsoever that the Sabbath was ever changed in either Testament. Now, that the Church of Christ meets on a Sunday, yes. And was that change made? Absolutely. But it was voluntary in recognition of the great thing that happened on the first day of the week, namely what? The resurrection. So you have this. Now, again, if you run into someone like this, no problem. You don't have to, like, you know, kick them out of church and stop, you know, unfriend them on social media and, you know, thumbs down to everything they post from then on. No, none of that stuff. But just know that there is a group, and it may exist within here, where we view the Sabbath, okay, as the Sunday's the Sabbath of the Lord. View number three is no specific Sabbath day. That's the abiding principle. There's a principle behind this fourth commandment. And this is where the church father Augustine landed. He saw it as symbolic of the salvation in Jesus Christ. Specifically, Hebrews chapter 4. Those who have trusted in Christ have entered the Sabbath rest. There's no stipulated day of worship. We voluntarily set aside Sunday. We call it the Lord's Day. And in honor of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Every day is special and it belongs to the Lord. That's view number three. Sunday worship is more following the pattern of the New Testament church. Where do you land? More importantly, you're asking, where do I land? Well, I go with portion number four. No, I'm just joking. I land somewhere between 2 and 3, probably 2.9. Okay? The reality is I do see the Sunday as the day that the saints of the church, the those who belong to the Lord, have set aside to worship. I don't see it prescribed in a command in the New Testament. I do see it that it is seen and highlighted in the New Testament. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, first day of the week. The Holy Spirit descends on Pentecost on the first day of the week. The book of Acts, where did the churches meet? On the first day of the week. In 1 Corinthians, when it was time for a collection, when did it happen? On the first day of the week. So I believe that Sunday, what you and I call Sunday, is the normal day for Christian public worship. And listen, some of us have to work on Sunday. I do. I know the joke. This is my only day of the week that I work. I understand that. The rest of the week, I'm eating bonbons and watching The Sopranos. I got that. Okay? I got that. All right? And when I'm tired of The Sopranos, I turn over to Oprah to even it out so my estrogen can catch up to my testosterone or something. Okay? But you know, there's some of us who do work on what we know and call the Sunday. You got first responders. You have people today in Champlain Towers. Should we stop digging? Right. No. But if you're a strict Sabbatarian, you better. See, this is where now it starts getting. This is where I say, you know, as your pastor, this is what I would tell you. Listen, if you find yourself that you, before you take on a job, you weigh the options. What does this mean? How is it going to affect my life? How is it going to affect my worship? How is it going to affect my involvement in the church that God has called me to know, to love, and to serve? And then if you still have to take it on, then you find ways to connect. To have that Sabbath rest that God provides and God wants for you. For me, because Sunday is a day of it's not rest, I'm not passively trying to endure my own sermon. You know what I mean? You are passively trying to endure my sermon. All right? But I'm not. I'm actively trying to endure my own sermon. So I'm working. I'm working hard here, folks. All right? So the reality, though, is, but what's my day? It's normally Saturdays. That's usually the day I take with my wife, and we rest, and I rest. So all this to say that it's not easy. Remember the Sabbath. I wish it was that easy. But for you and me, New Testament believers, it's not. So you may get to the point where you go, well, if that's the case, then let's just do away with them, and we'll call them the Nine Commandments. There's no use for the Fourth Commandment. Now you throw out the baby with the bathwater. Let's dig in and see what the Lord would have for us. Remember, rest, okay, rejoice, repeat. There's a rhythm to work and leisure. There's a rhythm to life. God has built into this rhythm, this thing of work and leisure. So let's dig in. Number one, the starting point of the command, the starting point. You see there, it says, Exodus 20, remember the Sabbath. Remember means remember. There's something to remember. There's a starting point. There's an origin. There's several terms that stand out right from the verses 8 through 11 here. Number one is remember. It's to recall, to bring to mind, to observe. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 5, you'll see that it doesn't say remember the Sabbath. It says observe the Sabbath. Meanings the same. They're synonymous. By remembering, you're observing. Try that with your gym next time you have a wedding anniversary. Go ahead and remember and don't observe it. Go ahead, big boy. Felix, go ahead. I know you guys have been married forever in 3 days, but go ahead and try to remember and not observe your next wedding anniversary. I'll find you on a ditch somewhere, man. You know that Megadorian, they're crazy, bro. I'm married to one. All right? So you see the difference between my man Joaquin right there. Yeah, he turned over to me later. He's like, go ahead, man. Remember and don't observe it. Go ahead. Go ahead. In fact, I'm going to put a little battery right here and go like, I dare you. I dare you. We all know, if we've been married longer than a day, we understand that. To remember is to observe. And that's the word here. It says, remember the Sabbath day. That term does not mean the seventh day, okay, or the seven or the seventh. It's a day of ceasing. The word literally means a day of rest. Observe the Sabbath day. Day of ceasing, of day of resting. Making it holy is the next term. Holy means you set it apart, dedicated or consecrated for a holy purpose. Stop the labor and work, your hands and your profession. Get some rest. The word there, rest, means to cease, to settle down, rest and be quiet. And the final word there is blessed. God has blessed it. God has set it aside as a special, special day. The scriptures make it clearly that the Israelites already knew what this was about. Before they get to Exodus 20, at the foot of Mount Sinai, they're in Exodus 16, and God's instructing them about the quail. Remember the quail? They were tired of being vegetarians, so they wanted some meat. Well, we need some carnivore stuff here. And they rebelled against God. And you know how God does with rebellion. He said, oh, really? You want meat? I'm going to take the object of your affection and use it as a tool of discipline. So you want meat? I'm going to give you so much meat, it's going to come out of your nose. But in part of that, he says in 16:23, this is what the Lord commanded. Tomorrow will be a day of rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. That's why on the day prior to that, he would send them twice the amount. And in fact, if they took for more than 2 days, what would happen? That especially to the manna, it would disappear. It would go bad. So they understood this thing about the manna. They understood this thing about the Sabbath. They understood it. But he takes them way beyond that. He says, listen, the origin, the starting point is not the wanderings of the desert, but creation itself. Genesis chapter 2, it's on the screen there. We read, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Does that mean that God just stopped? No. He rested from creation. He continues in sustaining his creation. If God didn't, we have a working and resting God. But even in resting, he's keeping things together. If God truly rested like you and I, Sunday fun day, right? This whole world would come apart. We will fall apart. The sustaining power of the Lord continues, even though he rested from creating. So we have to understand that. There was a pattern for everyone to follow. 6 days of work, 1 day of rest. 6 days of work, 1 day of rest. The Sabbath was not something new that God was revealing in the 10 words. Not something new in the wanderings in the desert. He pointed them back and said, this is just original design. Before marriage, before family, there was Sabbath. This is why he takes 98 words about taking a day off. and just has a sentence on adultery, murder, and stealing. Because before there was a family, the institution of family, before there was an institution of government, before there was an institution of marriage, there was the Sabbath. 6 days, and you rest. You're not a beast of burden. For you and me, this makes little sense because we're 21st century Americans here. We're looking for ways to do the least amount of work in the most amount of time. Are you kidding me? That's my work ethic. Do the least amount of work in the most amount of time. If I have to string it on. But two generations, three generations, four generations ago, there was no such thing as rest unless you did it. Talk to a slave. Talk to someone who suffered in a concentration camp. There was no such thing as rest unless your captor said it. We don't understand that today. So we have the starting point. What does it mean, the meaning of the command? D. James Kennedy writes, "For God so loved the human race that he gave us the Sabbath, a day of rest each week." Now, before you can understand it, we need to say, what did the Jew understand? What did the Jew understand? What did the original audience, when they heard this, from it comes down from the mountain, says, and he looks and he says, "Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy." What would have thought? Well, let's look at the content. The content. How were the people of Israel to obey this command? Well, first of all, they were to work. See, you and I focus on the rest. But it says 6 days you will work. Do you understand that we have an aversion to work nowadays? And sadly, we're accommodating it as a society. We're accommodating it as a government. The fact of not working. And that should not be. We were made to work. Adam was made to work. Care for the garden. Protect the garden. Care for your wife. Take care of these animals. You are a steward of all that I sent to you. That takes work. We heard about this a few weeks back when DJ stood here and he talked to us about a man should be known for his work. A message that I titled in my brain, you know, the masculine mandate. Okay, a man needs to be known as one who works. You know, some men will say, "I could look at work all day." Yeah, you sit right by it. You try not to work. I'm not afraid of work. Of course you don't. You're right next to it sitting. You don't do it. We should not be known for that. We should be known as people who know, men who work, people who work. This is first and foremost, you obey the Sabbath command by working, by earning the rest. We forget that because we run straight to the rest. 6 days. 6 days. The Bible says work hard. Laziness and idleness is condemned in the Bible as vices. Hard work is held up as a virtue. And please don't misunderstand. 6 days you shall work. It does not mean you better work 6 days. What the principle means is you have 6 days to accomplish work. You get 1 day. You have to set it aside to rest. Most of us here work 5 days. Again, the joke of the preacher. Only 1 day a week. I understand. Okay? But most of us now, we work 5 days. Some of us work 24 on, 48 off. Again, don't hate the play. I hate the game. I understand all that. Okay? My daughter, "Daddy, I work 12 days a month." Yeah, good. I work 12 days a week. How about that? All right? Again, a firefighter, if you're here 9 days a month. I'm trying to tell that to my kids. They don't listen. Youth is lost on the young, man. I know now how my dad felt. So what the principle is, you have 6 days. Remember, this is a different society than you and me. And what he was telling the Jews is, you have 6 days to accomplish work. And on the seventh, you rest, you rejoice, you repeat. See, this is where you and I go off the rails. Because we have 5 days of work, and then we got the weekend. And then we misuse the gift that comes from the Lord. This is where the fourth commandment brings us back to that ebb and flow of work and leisure. Salim, you have 6 days to accomplish your work. Child of God, you have 6 days to accomplish work. Whatever that means, professionally, relationally, as a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a mother, in the house, in the yard. You have 6 days to work. On the seventh, you rest, you rejoice, you repeat. See, that's what he's saying here. And for the Jew, on the seventh day, they were to do two things in particular. Exodus 34:21, 6 days you shall labor, but on the seventh day you shall rest. Even during the plowing season and harvest, you must rest. You stop working. Secondly, Numbers 28, on the Sabbath, you make an offering of 2 lambs a year old without defect, together with its drink offering, and a grain offering of 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil. This is the burnt offering for every Sabbath, in addition to the regular burnt offering and its drink offering. In other words, on the Sabbath, you rest and you worship. You rest and you worship. The Jew understood it. When they received, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. How? You rest and you worship. Child of God, no difference for you and me. And this is where the fourth word, the fourth command, starts bearing upon our calendar and examining us. And the Word of God now brings us to laser focus. Is God Lord of your time? Is God Lord of my calendar? Do I protect that rhythm of work and leisure? You want a psalm for your Sabbath? Write it down, Psalm 92. It actually says, a psalm for the Sabbath. And if we don't have time to read it, but if we were, it would say it's just a praise of God for who He is, what He provides. Psalm 92 is a psalm for the Sabbath. So you're supposed to worship God and rest from work. In other words, you play and you pray. You play and you pray. So that's the content. That's okay. Now, the purpose of the Sabbath. Well, we're already giving you two of them. All right, the purpose, you know, one of them was to rest. The other one was to worship. In Exodus 31, he gives them another reason. He says, say to the Israelites, you must observe my Sabbaths. Then this will be a sign between me and you for the generations to come, so you may know that I am the Lord who makes you holy. Ezekiel 20:20, keep my Sabbaths holy, that they may be a sign between us. A sign to the Jew that they belonged is they kept the Sabbath. They kept the Sabbath. Sabbath was a way to show your trust in God's provision. Exodus 16, bear in mind that the Lord has given you the Sabbath. That is why on the sixth day, you will give bread. You'll get bread for 2 days. You want to trust the Lord? You don't work until you drop like a beast of burden. You recognize that God is God. He's the only one who doesn't need sleep. You and I, by design, are created to rest. You know one of the reasons? So you and I can never think we're God. You understand that God never sleeps or slumbers. Yeah, amen, sister. Thank God. But you and I, we're supposed to sleep. That doesn't matter how much. You can go through sleep deprivation classes all you like. Sooner or later, your body will shock and shut down. And that's God reminding you, you are not me. And because you're not, I created you this way. I've given you a cycle, an ebb and flow to life. There's work to be done. And then there's rest and worship and enjoyment. And one doesn't happen at the expense of the other. That's the catch. And the fifth purpose, you know, Sabbath day was a reminder of God's rescue. Deuteronomy 5, you want to read the when it's said, you know, the Ten Commandments are given at the foot of Mount Sinai, Exodus 20. The Ten Commandments are retold at the entrance to the Promised Land, Deuteronomy 5, 40 years in between Exodus and Deuteronomy. Why does he do it in Deuteronomy? Because it was a whole new generation. And right before they enter the Promised Land and they occupy that which God had given them, he goes, let me remind you, Deuteronomy is just a series of sermons repeating Exodus, what God is expecting, the expectations. And in Deuteronomy 5, he says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt. How many days off does a slave get? Zero. Unless. But the pattern we see in Exodus was, not a day off. I'm going to make it worse on you. No straw, make the brick. Same, remove resources, I still want the same outcome. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. One of my favorite phrases when it comes to God's rescue. A mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. The Sabbath not only is tied into creation, but to redemption itself. God's rescue. And they would have figured that out. The Sabbath was a reminder to the Israelites that God had delivered them from slavery. And when you and I take time to rest and worship, we value the rescue of the Lord upon our lives. When we don't cheapen the day by giving it away so easily. Again, I'm not here to tell you, oh, you should do this. There's some of you that are hoping that I say, I come down on everyone and anyone that misses a Sunday. Or they sign up their kid to miss a Sunday. I'm not here to tell you that. It's between you and the Lord. He does a much better job. He does. It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. So I leave that to you in your walk. Others would say, you know, now since the fourth commandment is not a big deal, I can miss 48 out of 52. Well, that's between you and the Lord. The Lord knows, has his ways too. So I'm not here to tell you that. What I'm here to tell you is there's a reminder built into the season of life, into the rhythm of life that God did on purpose. You have 6 days to work. You have one day set aside for worship and rest. What did Jesus think about all this? What was his attitude? Number three, Jesus' attitude toward the Sabbath. Well, let me give you some. Number one, he observed the Sabbath as a day of public worship. Luke 4, on the Sabbath day, Jesus went into the synagogue as was his custom. He was a Jew, and he did what Jews did on the Sabbath. He worshiped. He healed on the Sabbath. In fact, he went out of his way to heal on the Sabbath. Sometimes he was just picking a fight, like a finger shoved in the... Because he understood. See, he rescued the Sabbath from an improper use, from an abuse. Not that he did away with it. He rescued it because, you see, in his day, the rabbis had come up with 1,500 ways that you shouldn't do. Things that you shouldn't do. Kind of crazy stuff. But he went out of his way to say, no, I'm going to do what's good, what's right. So he healed. Number three, he proclaimed himself the Lord of the Sabbath. That was the big deal. You know, he's walking around with his disciples. They grab some grain, which was permissible. What wasn't permissible is to get the sickle and work. But to grab the grain and eat it, that was permissible in the law. But the Sabbatarians, the traditionalists, the ultra-Orthodox, look at him. And you know the story, if you've read the biblical account, he says, well, if I'm doing wrong, what did you say about King David? When he was hungry, he went into the temple. That didn't break in. He went into the temple. There was some bread that's been consecrated to the Lord. He ate it. What now? They didn't have a word. And Jesus said, that's the thing. See, I tell you in Matthew 12, one greater than the temple is here. If you had known what these words mean, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. He also taught that the Sabbath was made for man's benefit. You see it in Mark 2. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And here you and I need to avoid two mistakes. Because we'll say, the Sabbath serves me. I don't serve it. And it's true. But here are the two extremes. And they exist. They existed in Jesus' day. They exist in our day. You know, we break the Sabbath by just having this business as usual. You know it. 6 days I shall work, and the seventh day rest and worship. But that seventh day is subject to availability. Namely, me. Because if I can find hashtag something else, I'll do that something else. Because you know how busy I've been over the week? Tell it to God. He's busy keeping the world together. You see? So that's the thing. So you can take it as business as usual. Don't do anything. It's not a special day. Big deal. The other mistake is being legalistic, which is the problem that Jesus was confronting. Oh, you're doing this, you're doing that, you're doing this. No. You know that in the 1600s, a man was arrested for smiling on the Sabbath? Why so serious? Because I can't smile on the Sabbath. The great Jonathan Edwards, one of the best, if not the greatest, American theologian, resolved to never tell a funny story on the Sabbath. I am done. If you know me, there's a funny story coming every other line. Like, just write that right now. That one, Jonathan Edwards said, "It is none, the joy of the Lord is my strength." He smiled. You're damned to hell there, Alberta. See, in Scotland, the 1600s, you know, the stories I read, and, you know, the people that did something on Sunday, you and I were, I'm old enough to remember the blue laws. I'm old enough to remember when Publix was closed on Sunday. I'm old enough when my friends couldn't buy alcohol until after 1 p.m. on Sunday. I had a friend. Always got busted there. He had to wait patiently until after 1 o'clock. I remember. And if you didn't, oh my word. That's legalistic. It's never God's intention. It was never God's intention for the Sabbath to be a burden. It should be a delight. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. 6 days I work and I rested. I give you 6 days to accomplish work and then rest, rejoice, repeat. You see how far off the rails you and I are when we look at the fourth commandment? What can we take with us this morning? Let me give you some things to ponder. Number one, strive for a proper balance of worship, and rest. It's a fight. Sadly, too many Christians set the bad example of worship is the least of the priorities there. Sadly, and you and I have been rescued of a great thing. We've been rescued from the penalty of sin. We've been rescued from having to pay for the broken plates. We have been rescued and adopted to the royal family of God. We have been rescued and called to join on a weekly basis to make much of the rescuer. And you and I are easily hashtagged something other than worship. And that should not be, my brothers and sisters. Again, does that mean you don't go on vacation? I'm planning on it. I'm going on vacation soon. But it does not mean that I'm known as someone who is easily dissuaded to miss a Sunday just because I went to sleep late on Saturday. Then sanctify your Sunday by not going to sleep late on Saturday. The day that you protect Sunday is Saturday night. Is it bad for my wife and I to go out and walk into the house at 3 or 4 in the morning? Well, it depends what we've been doing. But normally, 3 or 4 in the morning, we adults, we earn this bad boy here. I can walk in at any time I want. You're right. But if I walk in at 4 and fall asleep at 5 to wake up at 8 or 9, to be here at 9 for Bible study, I'm like, you know, I'm so tired, I'm leaving snail tracks. That's a sin because I'm giving God leftovers. I gave me the best. I went out to 4 this morning. You see what I mean? And again, I'm not after this legalistic stuff. All I'm trying to say is be real. We want to enjoy life. All God's good gifts are for us to enjoy within the parameters that He sets. Okay, my wife and I can probably handle that. If I had little kids, I'm not going to bring them in at 3, 4 in the morning. I'm setting them up to fail. They're going to get here and they're going to go. Or I'm going to make that call, text message. I'm not making it in because they're not feeling well. Of course they're not feeling well. They're half asleep. Don't give me that jive. I was a dad. I made mistakes. I made excuses. So strive for a proper balance. Number two, set aside time each week for public worship. And for you and me, it's Sunday. It's Sunday, the Lord's Day, where you make a big deal, we make a big deal, of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, of that capstone of Christianity. Not only did He die, but He rose. And that's the hope that you and I have. That's the hope that you and I, that I was talking about and hearing about yesterday in a memorial service. Because He lives, I shall live too. You come in through these doors almost bursting and saying, I want to praise the Lord. I need to praise the Lord. I want to praise Him not only privately. That's kind of simple. I want to praise Him with everybody else around me. Make a big deal of it. Number three, reflect on the purposes given in Scripture for the fourth commandment. Rest and refreshment belonging to God, a special day of public worship, a way to show your trust in God's provision, a reminder of God's redemption in Christ. Truett Cathy was right when he founded the Gospel Bird, you know, God's food. What's God's food? Chick-fil-A, right? My man, Chick-fil-A, he closed. Everywhere he goes, he closes. They don't. If you want to go to Chick-fil-A today, I treat. Every single one of you, I'll treat you today to Chick-fil-A. Even you're online, you didn't come in person, I treat you too. Done. Done. Well, true, Kathy understood it. 6 days I shall work. One day I shall rest. Chick-fil-A is one of the most profitable companies around. They make enough money in 6 days what it takes everyone else to make in 7. And then some. Because he's a person of conviction. Doesn't mean that everybody who works for him is a Christian. I'm not saying that. So next time you go to the operator and a guy treats you like garbage, don't blame True or Kathy. Okay? But what I'm saying is you want this, see this in a corporate setting? You have one. You have one. Number four, seek and follow the leading of God's Spirit concerning work and other activities on Sunday. Again, I'm not here to stand to tell you what you should or should not do. Okay? I know what I did, and I know what my wife and I did took before the Lord when it came to with our children. Decisions we made to make sure that they were here on Sundays. We didn't sign them up. They didn't play certain things. They didn't travel in certain teams because it demanded, even back then, 15, 20 years ago, we had to make the decision, we will not set up our children to fail. So we didn't do certain things. They didn't belong to certain things. They're okay. There's no permanent damage. I mean, there might be some, but two of them went to the military. Call it that damage, right? Said, I need to get out of this house. But that's okay. See, we're called to be parents, not friends. Now when they're adults, as baby adults, as I call them, baby adults, now we're friends. Before, we're just friendly at best. I'm still your dad. Still your dad. So to find, seek and follow the leading of God's Spirit. What am I saying to my kids by allowing them to engage in this activity other than rest, rejoice, repeat, work and leisure and worship? What am I sending to them? That's the message. Number five, avoid the opposite extremes of business as usual or legalistic observance. Avoid it. Living in the extremes is always dangerous and most of the time detrimental to our health. Any extreme. Lastly, follow the convictions of your conscience without judging others. Listen, I'm going to run into people here in our congregation that are going to say, this is how I want to live life. This is how I'm going to raise my children. And I'm going to disagree with them. It's okay. I don't have to judge them. I can pray for them. And you look at me and you go, hey, you should have done it this way and that way. True. But this is my conscience. It's no different for those who participate in Halloween or don't. Those of you who are wearing masks or not. Those of you who have taken a shot, the vaccine, or not. We don't ask those questions here because I'm wiser than that. But I don't judge. And you shouldn't judge either. Not only in those areas, but in areas of what to do regarding the keeping of this Sabbath, the setting aside of the public worship of God on Sunday. Child of God, if you can do this without a problem, there's a problem. Like I said early in the message, the problem is not that we just skip a Sunday. Most of the time, it doesn't even bother us. And that's where the drift has taken us. The Sabbath is both a gift and a command. It's a gift and a command. Do you know think whoever your boss is. If you have a supervisor. Imagine the supervisor calls you and says, hey, you know what? You've been working really hard. Don't come in tomorrow. Take the day off. It's on me. You would probably be elated. You really were. You would. Your boss is giving you a command. Don't come to work. But your boss is also giving you a gift. Take the day off. God has given us a command. And he has given us a gift. Writing his commentary on the Ten Commandments, this Bible commentator says, the commandment teaches that the Lord should be sovereign over our time and in ceasing to work one day a week, we show our faith and offer our praise to the one who is the true ruler of time. God's people said, let's pray. Let's pray. If you would close your eyes and bow your heads for just a moment. Would you acknowledge the Lord as your rock and your redeemer? What has the Lord impressed upon you through the study of His Word, this fourth word? Remember the Sabbath. How off kilter are you? And again, this is not just for you and I who are working, the working stiffs. Listen, if you're alive, what are you doing with it? What are you doing with this concept of setting aside one day a week to rest and worship? It's that important, child of God. The longest of the commandments. Important enough for God to go out of His way and through His servant say, remember it. Remember it. It's important to me. It needs to be important to you. So Lord, help us to honor You. Honor the principle of work and leisure. Enjoy the gift that You've granted us of rest, of worship. And then help us to repeat. Help us to rejoice as we gather. Such a privilege. Help us to protect this gathering each and every week as we plan our weekend and as we plan the use of the time that You have granted to us. We continue to be stewards of time. So help us to be good stewards of time. Where we're falling short, please help us see it and help us remedy it. And thank You for the grace that You send our way. Help us to always declare that we belong to You. We love You. We trust You. In Jesus' name, God's people said,